Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone's Irish tonight. Everyone's Irish tonight.
Irish accent, but this is actually it. So lucky you. So many people believe in some form of luck, whether it is through superstitions, lucky trinkets, good luck, bad luck. Some say there is no such thing as lucky. Some believe in wishing wells, falling stars. You name it, there are a world of thoughts and opinions on luck and life. No matter where you stand on this, though, I think we can all agree we are very lucky to have my co-host for tonight's show, Pam Ray. How are you doing tonight, Pam?
Oh, I am doing great. I decided to go for a walk at dusk time. It was absolutely beautiful out, pink clouds, sunset. The moon came out, and, you know, it just was, it's just honestly one of my favorite times of the day to go for a walk. And all in all, it was just a good day, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you, maybe another cool poet or two, and, you know, just enjoying the poetry. Great topic tonight.
That sounds awesome. So did you have some nice weather near you?
Decent for this time of year. Like our high today was 53, and when I went for a walk, it was 46. But, you know, it's like I've mentioned before, for this area and this time of year, that's decent. Now, how about you? How was your day?
You know, it's been kind of chilly here, but for us, that's way warmer than you. So, yeah, I'm going to say we're probably in the mid-60s and stuff. But,
okay.
You know, it's all, you know, I'm on the edge of the desert, the Mojave Desert, so the cold wind blows, and it's pretty chilly feeling. But, yeah, I'm kind
yeah,
of
the wind chill makes a difference. The wind chill makes
a
difference. Yep, exactly, exactly. Now, I just have one question for you.
Sure.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
You know, I was going to do the same thing to you, but I wasn't going to say punk because I thought that would be offensive to you, Pam, so... I'm going to bring that one to you, too.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, no, that was very good. Good job. So, actually, I do. So, there we go. So, anyways, let's see here. I got a few things I was thinking of chatting with you about, too. I think I agree with the saying that you make your own luck in this world. Hard work and planning generally add up to success. But I will say, you know, I don't really pray a lot for like, hey, I want this or I need that. You know, that's not the, you know, but there are a couple of times that I've actually prayed for something very specific and it happened. And so in some ways, I think I do believe that there's some sense of luck and stuff in the world or intervention, whether it's luck or divine intervention, I don't know. But I got to say, in some way, I feel that I am sort of lucky. So how about you? What do you think, Pam?
You know, I feel very similar. I don't think you should, like, I believe in the power of prayer. I do believe there is a higher power. And I do believe in that fortune or idea of fortune or luck. But definitely don't depend on it. Don't sit down on your behind and depend on luck. You have to work towards what you want. You know, and it does seem like for some people things come easier, but, you know, for the most part, but, you know, I feel like any kind of faith, whether it's a faith in a higher power or faith in luck, you know, there's just nothing wrong with it as long as it doesn't become your crutch. Now, but that's how I feel personally. Of course, you know, everybody has their different ways of looking at things. And, it's interesting, though, how throughout history so many different cultures have had their different customs and symbolisms when it comes to luck.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you could go on and name a whole bunch of symbols and don't do's and all kinds of things like that. So, So what do you think? Shall we read a poem, Pam? Or?
I think that sounds like a great idea. All right, I'll go ahead and put the first one up, and that is To Win the Golden Sweepstakes by Peter Solway. And go ahead, please, Scott, and give that a read.
Okay, give me a second to get there. Looks like I have to refresh since it's not there. There we go. All right. To Win the Golden Sweepstakes by Peter Solway. No King Kong, giant African man, hanging on to the Empire State Building. Unshaven immigrant beset by biplanes. Dear life, little white woman, new world, no fun. Down the drain like Titanic, doomed. This lucky leprechaun, to dream back home, a green United Ireland, sunsets of pure orange, no trauma of a seasick crossing, vast Atlantic farewell to all the troubles I've ever known, icebergs in the distance, worse to come, rusted steerage squashed on black bottom, some slave Neptune blowing bubbles of migraine, but love of fairy lotto to win the spin, sing ancient ballads of keen belonging, all the moist day long, endless circular songs, drunk with Van Morrison, free yodeling, waterfalls of slipping and sliding, ghost of Ulysses down cobblestone lanes of Dublin, you, my brown-eyed girl, end poem. And did you want to start? Whoops, sorry.
Oh, no problem. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I would be happy to. Sorry, it's just my automatic response to go straight into talking sometimes. But I like this. I like how he really seems to, in how I'm reading the poem anyways, is that he really brings us into the history and the troubles of the Irish immigrants. You know, the mention of in the first stanza of New World, no fun, down the drain, like Titanic doomed. I like that he brings up the sinking of the Titanic because there was a lot of Irish immigrants on there, and a lot of them were poor and down in the Hold'em area, the area where most of the people were that ended up going down with the Titanic. I actually, one of my best friends, her great-great-grandfather, missed the Titanic. He was supposed to be on it. Yeah, and of course, which didn't seem very lucky at the time, but obviously turned out to be really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that, and I like this all the way through, but like how he especially talks about how the Irish immigrants came by ship a lot, and then the mention of Van Morrison, who I believe is of Irish descent, and the song Brown Eyed Girl, to me it really spoke on how the Irish oftentimes depend on both hope and music in trying times. So great write and very well done.
That's some amazing comments, Pam. I really like your take on that too. Your commentary on the friend that you knew of and things like that. Very interesting. Yeah, Peter, as always, is just, he's got such cool twists and turns in his poetry, and it always makes you kind of stop and think and stuff like that, which, you know, is what all really good poetry does and stuff. And so, you know, definitely no different here. I agree that I feel like the Titanic is sort of a symbol of the Irish people to some degree and all of the trials and tribulations that they've kind of gone through and stuff. And, you know, so the crossing of the Atlantic can be symbolic, I think, of their whole thing. And then the Titanic itself is pretty symbolic at times too, I think. So just overall, another really good write by Peter and stuff, with lots of good allusions that he uses really well to make comparisons and stuff. And I think that's a really great skill in a poet to be able to make those comparisons using familiar topics that people would be able to make those connections and comparisons using them. So anyways, very good. And always enjoy reading Peter's stuff. So thank you very much, Peter, for contributing again, as always, to the contest. And So let's see here. Do we have another one we can move to, Pam?
We do. I'm just going to ask you a small favor because my daughter came in the bedroom to show me that her back has broken out into some allergic reaction with welts. And so if you could read this next poem, Destined by Chance by Robert A. Snow, and go into commenting if I'm not back, and I apologize for this, but I want to make sure she takes her allergy pill.
No, absolutely. I'm okay with that. So, and let me get us going on that. All right. So the next poem up is Destined by Chance by Robert A. Snow. Lucky is only relevant to hindsight. It speaks, but not a word of what's to come. It's in the looking back that brings delight, and luck is not intelligent, but dumb. And yet we do continue to prevail upon the mystic hope of being blessed. 'Tis better to prepare in great detail and of our own resolve should we invest. So it's a great poem in a number of ways. One thing I like, the rhythm and the flow of it. It definitely has a sound to it with the rhyme scheme in it. And then also just very true in its meaning as well. So luck is only relevant in hindsight is so true because, you know, you can only look back on it. There's no looking forward, you know, to luck. You can plan, you can, kind of like I was saying at the beginning of the show, you can absolutely plan and you can work hard and that may result in what you will later look back on as being lucky, but I tend to believe that luck in itself is oftentimes created through perseverance, hard work, intelligent use of the skills that you have and things like that. So looking onward in it, you know, again, luck is not an intelligent thing. It's more just something that, you know, fortune shines upon you. So anyways, overall, it's a really well-written poem. I do like the idea of having those rhymes, some of them off rhymes, such as in the second verse here, the prevail and detail, and then the blessed and invest as well are, they ring as you read it. So very good job there by Robert in writing this, and much appreciated that he would write for the show for us. And Pam, are you back by any chance?
I am, yes. Okay. Thank you. And I really like this one. I had read it earlier, and I have to agree with about the off rhyme, especially there was something about blessed and invest. Not only was it great off rhyme, but the fact that, you know, oftentimes the blessings come when you make those, when you invest your time and your hard work into your life and the desired outcome. But yeah, great opening line. Luck is only relevant to hindsight. I mean, you can say you feel lucky. You can, you know, have a good feeling. You can, as you said, you can plan. But, you know, it really is all about looking back and realizing the blessings that you've had. And I thought this was a great brevity all the way through, but I did also like where he says, 'tis better to prepare in great detail. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yep, I agree with you. Much appreciated, Robert, that you write for the contest and the show. We definitely appreciate it. So shall we look at our next one, Pam?
Absolutely. Up next, we have Leprechauns, Unicorns, and the Llama by Eric Svensson. And he was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Leprechauns, Unicorns, and the Llama. Lucky to be alive, aren't we? Said the hare to the tortoise. Why so? Quipped the porpoise. Kickboxing kangaroo sauntered over to eavesdrop. Let's see how lucky they are in the race. Blue dragonfly adjudicators hovered at the starting line. Two sets of wings, independently and tandem, hoovered the chalk line. Lucky you, quipped the porpoise, being airborne. Home on his back, landlubber extraordinaire blink. Feet on the ground approach is my maxim, he proffered, impatiently punching air. Kamikaze kangaroo danced like a butterfly. Bumpety bump thump, bumblebee barged in. Known as Marge, she behaved as the grame dame she was. Luck has nothing to do with life, dearly beloved. No substitute for sheer hard work, my boys. Good old common sense paves the way to success. Partridge Parsons' distinct short scratchy call alerted the races. Dearly beloveds, why are you gathered here on Friday the 13th? Do you not know that this is a very unlucky day to do anything? Out of the blue, a pure white snow owl fluttered down to the ground, spellbound by her large, tube-shaped eyes. A deathly hollow silence settled on the races, until a renowned platypus pianist from down under inquired, "Down on your luck, are you?" Kaa from Jungle Book unfurled from her cobra yoga pose, pushed her luck as she normally does in St. Patrick, sent her ancestors packing out of Ireland. This non-existent entity you now debate originated in the 15th century, 2 centuries after the unlucky 13th century. Feisty falcons, fierce whistle pierce, set the competitors off like crazed cattle rustlers. No such luck for poor tortoise, quipped the last extent Dodo, wobble a gobble a go-go. My species didn't win life's race, why will he? Ms. Holly-go-lightly always has the last Bitcoin word. Poets are the luckiest intergalactic species of all. Born with this perpendicular condition we are, quips Frosty Robert in poem.
All right. I think I'll go ahead and comment first on this one, Pam, and then pass it off to you. But I really like this. Eric's, I always enjoy listening to Eric read his own poems. And he has so many, I love the alliteration he constantly has in his poems and the extraordinary word choice and those kinds of things that he does in every poem. But I literally could see this. This is like a child's fairy tale mashed together with the whole Luck of the Irish thing. I could totally see reading this to kids and kids kind of getting into it, although, you know, it has twists of different stuff within it. But it's an amazing write and one of my favorites, I would say, of Eric's in reading it. Truly a skilled write. It brings in the ideas of the horror, the hare and the tortoise, and then, you know, but I love that he brings in all of these different characters into the story and really gives it a storyline as he goes through it, and just many very cool things throughout it. The bumpity bump thump bumblebee barged in, known as Marge. She behaved as the grand dame she was. Luck was nothing to with life dearly beloved. No substitute for sheer hard work, my boys. Good old common sense paves the way to success. You know, and like I say, like in a normal kid's tale, elementary level especially, you know, it has the morals built into it and all of those kinds of things. And so it's just, I literally just see this as something that could be published in of value to elementary school teachers in many ways. So, yeah, just an amazing write all together. And thank you, as always, Eric, for sharing your poetry with us here on Late Night Poets. So, what do you think, Pam?
I always enjoy stories or story poems where there's animals brought in that talk and have fun, and you know, just it's like good old fashioned. You know, it's like makes me think of Beatrix Potter and other authors like that, and it really makes me smile. The fact that he gives each one of these characters a personality all their own. It was great opening up with the conversation between the hare and the tortoise, because that Aesop's fable, at least it wasn't it an Aesop's fable? Well, it was something similar anyways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the tortoise winning because they were persistent, you know, rather than depending on luck, I thought was a great representation of the topic. And then to have all these animals racing around is that extended metaphor as the race for you know, life, and how some people get a better head start than others. You know, I also think just in this, Eric has such a wonderful sense of humor, giving a poke at people who don't realize that Friday the 13th is supposed to be unlucky. There's like a nice sardonic bite to that. But I especially thought it was funny when he says, Ka from Jungle Book unfurled from her cobra yoga pose, pushed her luck as she normally does, since St. Patrick sent her ancestors packing out of Ireland. Oh, that was just great. Amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, there's plenty of really good humorous parts to this, I think, you know, because if you continue on from where you were referring to and everything, also the 2 centuries after the unlucky 13th century, you know, I thought that was a pretty good line as well. And, you know, just the whole poem, I think, is, as always with him, very carefully crafted and just really well done. So as always, thank you so much, Eric, for sharing with us. And let's see here. Let's see if we can move on to our next one.
Absolutely. Up next, we have Irish American by Anu. and it goes like this, or I'm sorry, it might actually be Annie W. I apologize. And it goes like this. The luck of the Irish is to sustain centuries of oppression at the hands of the English, burn crops, rape wives, starve children, get up with your fist in your nose. My Irish ancestors fled to America. My grandmother, whose blood roots stemmed from those proud-faced immigrants, grew up in New York City. I remember reading words from Irish people mocking Irish Americans as if our bloodlines no longer mattered because we had to flee starvation. I remember her apartment. My father helped her keep neat as a pin with a big living room window. She crocheted me an afghan of greens and yellows, and at night I looked out at the hills. She was tough, watchful, quiet, humorous, sentimental. She was quick-tempered, conscientious, and unshowy. She was abusive to my father and his sister, but with me she held me close to her stout body and told me I had a nice back, and we laughed about the people on TV. She's gone now. Her name was Cecilia. She came to me once in a dream. She loved St. Francis, went to Mass faithfully. She took the buses around the city, looking like she could take on basketball teams single-handedly. This Irish-American mud is here because of people like my grandmother. God bless the luck of the Irish. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Did you want me to comment on it first, or?
You can. That is absolutely fine. Yep.
Sure. Okay. So, this is a powerful write. You know, some of those other ones are a little bit on the, the lighter side. This one takes on more of the plight of the Irish and the difficulties that they literally have faced in many circumstances throughout the centuries. And the dealing with their circumstances that have driven them, not just to America, actually, but to, you know, many other locales throughout the world and stuff. And so, you know, it is really impressive here reading Annie's poem and kind of thinking about the situation, her recollections with her grandmother and, you know, thinking about the history, but also thinking about her personal history that comes out in this poem. And so, you know, it's very enjoyable to kind of get that picture, that window into somebody's life, even when the picture isn't always a pretty one, or it's got some things that make you pause and think about the world we live in and the difficulties that people have that some of us share, but you know, that all of us have our own different difficulties. And like her grandmother in the, I want to say the third to last stanza where she describes her, she was tough, watchful, quiet, humorous, sentimental. You know, being that tough Irish woman to persevere through and somehow find a way to encourage Annie and have her feel the power of her, her background. So anyways, very, very good write. Definitely had me interested right from the beginning all the way to the end. And I just think it's a great poem. So thank you so much, Annie, for sharing with us. And Pam, what did you think of it?
I actually really liked this one. I thought it was a different take on the prompt because it speaks about luck indirectly. You know, the luck to get away from an area where you're starving, but then to the unluckiness of you know, having to deal like with being in, you know, Irish, her ancestors being Irish immigrants. I'm sure they had to go through a lot when they came to America. And then as the decades and, you know, the generations passed, the mocking of the Irish Americans from the Irish people, that was a particularly strong part. I remember reading words from Irish people mocking Irish Americans as if our bloodlines no longer mattered because we had to flee starvation. That idea that we control our own destiny in some ways by the individual choices that we make at the crossroads of life that we come to. And I like how it also is a dedication to her relationship with her grandmother. And I will say, who actually sounds a lot like my grandmother. She wasn't a very, you know, what you would think of as a traditional, like, matriarch grandmother. You know, she, you know, horrible cook, but she was always, you know, doing her artwork, out gardening, just, you know, in her jeans, getting her hands dirty. And also came from a family where abuse and alcoholism was passed down. Now, I don't know if alcoholism was involved, but she doesn't directly say it here, and I shouldn't make any assumptions. But a lot of times when abuse is involved, there is also some sort of addiction. And I like how, to me, while it is definitely sad, and it is a difficult subject, I like that she's so honest with her word painting, and like you were saying, how she shares with us not just the nice and fun parts, but also the raw and brutal and honest parts of what it's like. And speaking on that, what people call the generational curse, the idea that oftentimes addictions and abusive behaviors are unfortunately passed down from one generation to the next, and it's up to us individually to break that. So really a great take on the theme of the contest, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, as always, some very insightful commentary there that she gave, Pam. It's, like I say, a very deep poem, and carries a lot of depth with it. So very much appreciated that you'd share that with us, Annie. And all right, we're moving right along and got some quality poems already into the show. Let's see what we got coming up next.
Well, up next we have Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Heartthrob. And go ahead, please, Scott, and give that a read.
All right. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Heartthrob. Shamrock dwelling in a shady grove, luck be a lady mature as bold, toting all, and I'm a shillelagh, her walking stick, patented for gold, thorny, thick, an iris symbol behold to whiff, a lime green season to celebrate in, rainbow dreams fast ahead, found a four-leaf clover beside my bed, a leprechaun's reunion lay in wake, shiver me timbers, make no mistake, the tinted ale shades of green with a gnarly appearance, this festive scene. Make some noise and let it be loud. The luck of the Irish be upon us now. Jackpot winner receives pot of gold, a lavish myth as the story is told. End poem. And if you want to, Pam, why don't you be the first one to comment on this one?
I would be happy to. You know, Heartthrob is a wonderful rhyming poet. So there is definitely great rhyme and flow to this. I like how he focuses in on the four-leaf clover and how it is that symbolism of Irish luck. I thought the lines, an Irish symbol behold to with a lime green season to celebrate in, rainbow dreams fast ahead, found a four-leaf clover beside my bed. You know, I don't think I've ever found a four-leaf clover in my life, but I can imagine the excitement, you know, of finding one, especially if you're a child, but or, you know, even if you're an adult who just has faith in, you know, the luck of a four-leaf clover. I also like a leprechaun's reunion, lay and wake, shiver me timbers, make no mistake. And that made me smile because it kind of throws you off slightly with the shiver me timbers being a whole pirate thing. But it was fun because it was almost like it was transitioning from the idea of the Irish mythology to the legends of Irish pirates. And, of course, the tinted ale, Shades of Green, brings us into modern times with the enjoyment of green beer on St. Patrick's Day. Well, I don't know about where you live, but, you know, here in the Midwest, you know, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and they're all drinking green beer. And it definitely does become quite the festive scene as long as the fights don't break out, which they usually do, so, but, I mean, this is definitely a very entertaining rite.
Yeah, like I say, it's been a long time since I've been out on a St. Patrick's Day, but, yeah, I remember the green beer and stuff, but it's been many a year since I've gone out and done that. But, yeah, I really do like Hartop's home here. And I actually do recall in Colorado as a kid laying in the grass and looking through all the shamrocks with, oh, I can't remember who I was with probably, but I do recall actually finding four-leaf clovers. So, you know, it's not an impossibility, actually. So kind of an interesting thing. Maybe that's why I've been so lucky in my life, is that I do recall actually seeing a four-leaf clover. So with that.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah, I think so. It's, you know, I definitely remember doing it. So, and, you know, that's just picking through the grass, probably after playing football or something like that, and everybody just kind of sitting around afterwards and began picking through the four leaf or the clover in the grass. So on to Heartthrob's poem and stuff specifically. I really do like the rhyming aspect of it. I believe it's really well done. And, you know, like he generally has the direct rhymes and stuff, but he also does a pretty good job with loud and now as an off rhyme in that last stanza, I thought. Just in overall, like you were saying with the clover idea, just a pretty cool celebration of the whole idea of luck and you know, the Irish and the four-leaf clover idea mixed all throughout this. And so yeah, the overall feel of the poem is really great as far as fitting into the whole concept of St. Patrick's Day. So definitely appreciate you writing for the contest, Heartthrob, and like I say, just an enjoyable read. So. And let's see here. Did you have anything else to say on this one, Pam? Or?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Did you have anything else to say on this one? By the way, that word in the, I know it's like the, it stands for a walking stick. But how do you pronounce that?
Which word is that?
Third word, third line. Gillilog, or I have no idea.
I've never seen that word.
I know it stands for like a walking stick or something, you know.
Yeah, and I know the thing I've learned is from trying to pronounce Irish names is oftentimes they're completely, like, different than what you would expect. Maybe it's, I you know, I could guess, but honestly, it would be just as much of a guess as yours. So,
I'm sure I'm still learning it.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't even know that. That is a new word to look up.
Yeah, I might have to do that. Yeah. So, okay. All right. So I guess we'll move on and we'll worry about that later. So.
Yeah, well, right, it's a good thing that the poets keep us on our toes. That's for sure.
Yeah, they give us these new words, and we have to go check them out and make sure that we know what we're looking at and how to pronounce it, especially.
Yes, that's especially important, especially. Well, the next poem we have up is The Luck of the Draw by Coker Fave Joker, and it goes like this. The luck of the draw is all just a matter of chance and chance alone. The luck of the draw, a mystery unknown. Some are blessed from the start. Others must work with all their heart. It's not always fair. We know that's true. But what you make is up to you. So don't give up when things go wrong. Remember that luck is sometimes long. And when you feel like giving in, just remember that you've got to keep on trying till the end. For the luck of the draw is not a friend. It's not always good or easy to bear, but what you make is up to you to share. So take your chances and roll the dice and hope for the best with no compromise. For the luck of the draw is not the be-all and end-all. What matters is you, your journey and all. So go forth and live with all your might and make your own luck day and night. For the luck of the draw is just part of it all. What matters is you, your strength, and your goal. So take a chance with all you've got and make your own luck till the end of the plot. And know that no matter what comes your way, you have the power to make your own day. So don't let the luck of the draw define your worth, your life, or how you shine. For the luck of the draw is but a game, but what you make is yours to claim. So rise above the luck of the draw and create your own luck for one and for all. Because in the end, it's up to you to make sure to make your own luck no matter what ensues. End poem.
Good read, Pam. Well, yeah, I definitely like the message in this. And I do think that the repetition of the luck of the draw adds a rhythmic feel to the ongoing sound of the poem. So, you know, it kind of toward the middle of this started reminding me of something I used to tell my own son. And now I tell students of mine when they're reluctant to do what they're supposed to be doing and stuff that you know, instead of looking at the job in its entirety, that it's just easier if you just start working and just start doing what you need to do. And before you know it, you're done, and then you have something that you can look at and honestly say to yourself, I did that, that I accomplished it. And at one point here in Coker's poem, it truly started to remind me of that. And the idea that you do really create your own luck, that, you know, and it comes through the perseverance and the pushing onward and not so much focusing on the pain of the task, but the you know, just the getting into it and doing it the best you possibly can do, and then kind of letting the chips fall where they may, and Generally, you may find that in some way, shape, or form that you did get the luck of the draw. So anyways, that's kind of where it took me as I listened to you read that and let my mind wander into it a bit. So what did you think of it, Pam?
Well, I like that. I like that. And it's always great to let your mind wander into poetry. First of all, I have to say, I really like that. Well, not necessarily all the way through, there were quite a few stanzas with where the rhythm and flow of this made me think of Dr. Seuss. And I really liked that. And it wasn't just the rhyme. It was the fact that oftentimes within the fun and the silliness of his storytelling and his rhyme, Dr. Seuss would often have a message. And that's what this poem does too. It has that message that, yes, there are some that are luckier than others. But you know what? You got to make your own luck. Put the work into it, you know, and realize that it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And, you know, and I really liked that. Some really wonderful lines throughout. I really like, so go forth and live with all your might and make your own luck day and night. For the luck of the draw is just a part of it all. What matters is you, your strength, and your goal. You know, just, I thought that was wonderful. And then, you know, I can't find it exactly, but there was a part that mentions about it, you know, being the journey. And I thought that was just a really great message. But, you know, all in all, this is has a wonderful lyrical quality, and I like that it speaks on the importance of making your own luck. And I do have to say that Coker Fave Joker is a new name to me, so always great to see new names. I hope to be reading more of them. I hope they're inspired for future LNP shows. Very cool, and this was very well done.
Yep, very, very good comments. Definitely, I haven't seen Coker or Fave Joker either, and definitely look forward to seeing some more of their writing and stuff. So thank you so much for contributing to the contest and sharing your poetry with us on the show. So, all right, Pam, we are nearing our first hour almost done already.
We are, yes. Time flies when you're having fun, that is for sure. And up next we have Only Believe And by Linda Evans. And go ahead and give that a read, Scott.
All right, Only Believe And by Linda Evans. Somehow or another, a way will be found. A hitherto locked door shall stand ajar. For when Lady Luck's with you, dreams can and do come true. What may seem impossible today, tomorrow may well manifest. Only have faith, believe, and Lady Luck will do the rest. Coffers that were empty will miraculously overflow. It doesn't matter how, and you don't need to know. Only implicitly trust, and it shall be so. End poem. It's an enjoyable poem and stuff. I'm going to let you go ahead and comment on this one first, though, Pam.
I would be happy to, though I will warn you that I wasn't 100% sure about this one, and in fact, I was just directly honest with Linda, so I'm happy to comment, but then I'm also going to be thrilled to hear what you have to say, because here's my thing, is I read this poem two different ways, and because it is so hard for anyone, but for some reason, I just really struggle with, you know, unless people label their poems struggle, obviously, of picking up on, you know, tone of the written word. I thought, okay, so I enjoyed reading this. This is wonderful, the rhyme, the flow. But what I was having trouble picking up on whether it was supposed to be a sardonic tone about luck and faith, you know how, like, through social media, you're always getting your private messages on Facebook and such, or even right on your board, you know, like, hey, share this for good luck, and, you know, don't ask any questions, just pass it along, and you'll have fortune. I thought, well, maybe it's supposed to be sardonic like that, or maybe it is really honestly supposed to be about, you know, having faith, and because, you know, to me, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, but if you're constantly questioning things, like we had one poem that mentioned, you know, that everything happens in its own time. You know, like sometimes luck takes longer, and sometimes, like, whether it's you're depending on luck or you're praying to a higher power and you have faith, part of faith is not constantly nitpicking and saying, why isn't it happening in my time? So I thought this could go either way. It could have been sardonic, a sardonic bite at the idea of people who, you know, pass along those posts and, you know, those pictures of teapots or whatever they are, you know, that are their babies that are supposed to give you good luck. Or it's just, you know, this honest, just heartfelt look at what it means to honestly have faith. But either way, whatever Linda meant by it, I hope she doesn't take it too personally that I'm not completely understanding it, because that's just a lot of how my brain works. It often will get jumbled up with various answers that I think. But either way, I really like the rhythm of it, the word choice. And I was very glad to see that she was inspired. And with all that babbling done, I am definitely looking forward to what you have to say, Scott.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint Pam. a lot of pressure you're putting on me, Pam. No. No. I really like this. There's a number of things I like about it. And first of all, I guess I'll address what you're saying. I don't know, maybe it's me and I want to see it for that it really is intending to be sincere in the idea of faith. And that's how I read it. I don't really read it in the alternative that you were speaking of. So I tend to think that she sincerely means it in this. As far as, like, other aspects of the poem in itself and its craft, because I kind of like the way it sits on the page a little bit too. So, you know, that it's the way that she's doing it in couplets and stuff that, and I probably shouldn't really use couplets because that infers that there's rhyming and stuff like that, but the partnered lines and stuff, the way she's written this, I actually like the choice. I think that it adds to this poem significantly, the way that she structured it on the page. So that's one aspect that I think kind of stands out to me that I like quite a bit. And then also, then she does have a little bit of rhyming when you get to, like, the third pairing of lines with the you and the true and things like that. And but as you go through it, I just feel like the way she put it on the page actually somehow appeals to me. So what may seem impossible today, tomorrow may well manifest. Only have faith, believe, and Lady Luck will do the rest. And so, you know, it's not like a rhyme scheme, but it does have rhyme, which adds to the rhythm of her word choices. And overall, I just really like the poem. I tend to want to take it for the idea that it really is having faith. And I guess that sort of, to me, is an appealing thing. And so I'm drawn to the poem quite a bit. So Definitely appreciate it. And I like the way that she kind of comes to the ending in this poem too, with the kind of tapering down to, and so, you know, that it shall be so. So I, again, coming back to the way she structured it on the page. So I'm babbling along, but Linda, I definitely enjoyed your poem a lot. So thank you very much for writing for the contest. And, you know, thanks for sharing your poem so that we could read it and discuss it online. So, all right.
Absolutely.
Did I answer your question, Pam?
You know what? I think you did, or at least you gave me another perspective besides my own, which was important. And I like that you see this in a positive light. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that's how Quicken sees it too, because he says in LNP, trust in Lady Luck was what I could get from it. So very cool. So there's two people who see this poem in a very positive light, which is a wonderful thing. And I also like that you brought up the structure of the poem, because yes, that was definitely beautiful. Oh, and to answer Quicken's question, hitherto is an adverb, which means until now or until the point in time under discussion. So there we go. Learn something new. And up next, we have Lucky Living by Gravity Shade. Rising to part the curtains, displaying the spring shine, after slumbering deep beside your favorite person. Arriving at the office with calls returned, progress made before lunch, leaving with projects complete, taking a call after a sudden ring, told that your daughter was driving, breaking the law on the way to the hospital where she stays, attending the funeral of a child run over in the prime of life, playing where they shouldn't, not aware of what lay in stone, investing in the stock market, watching the numbers rise, selling before their peak, buying after the low, viewing as new birth takes place, sliding out and into novel life, brought about by common action of swimmers meeting their mate, chances everywhere, hiding in the crevices, showing itself unexpected, overturning the stable. Ill chance or grand fortune, but one is always lucky. End poem.
That one makes me think a bit. It's, you know, it, the title, you know, had me kind of falling into, and the beginning of the poem had me falling into it being lucky, like good luck and stuff. And then it drops in some little bombs on you along the way that kind of make you think and reflect and stuff, which is really great stuff that is done throughout this poem. So, you know, but starting off with rising to part the curtains, displaying the spring shine after slumbering deep beside your favorite person. You know, it starts off with such a calm and, you know, I feel lucky feeling. And, you know, and then it starts to come to, you know, things that don't feel lucky. Attending the funeral of a child, run over in the prime of life, playing where they shouldn't, not aware of what lay in store. You know, and then just kind of going on from there on the roller coaster of luck, which is, you know, so true because, you know, literally we all unfortunately have those little dips and divots in our life that definitely do not feel lucky. and stuff. But then, you know, just going throughout our daily lives and being lucky to have that person next to you to go through life with, or your children to watch grow. And, you know, all of those things are such amazing things to experience and live for and live through. And so, you know, it's just, it's a very powerful poem, you know, reading it and then going on with some of the other things, the investing in the stock market, watching the numbers rise, selling before their peak, buying after the low. Again, the idea of the highs and the lows and stuff, that, you know, the stock market in itself is somewhat symbolic of just life in general and the highs and the lows and things like that. So, like, you know, not to, to go on and on about it and to give you a chance as well, Pam, to speak about it. You know, I just will say that this one kind of draws me in the fact that it draws you into, like, real life in a lot of ways, and it makes you reflect on your own life and your own luck and dealings with good and bad fortune. So definitely appreciate the right gravity shade. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I really like what you had to say, especially when you described it as being like a roller coaster, which I think a roller coaster is always a great metaphor for life with all its ups and downs. And I thought that works really well for this poem because, oh my goodness, that unexpected turn of all of a sudden, you know, the attending the funeral of a child run over in the prime of life, and it just hit. I mean, oh my goodness, the, like, it just, the sadness of it just is almost overwhelming. But I thought, you know, this poem is so fitting because of the fact that we don't judge whether somebody is considered lucky or unlucky if their life stays on basically a plateau. It's those extreme highs and lows. If somebody has a lot of extreme highs, we consider them quote unquote lucky. You know, if they have a lot of extreme lows, we consider them unlucky. And so I think this poem really is thought provoking. It does make us think about, you know, how we view individual moments that represent good luck and bad luck. I really liked the second to last stanza with the chances everything hiding in the crevices, showing itself unexpected, overturning the stable. Wonderful imagery and metaphor there, and really great thoughts about the idea that oftentimes the unexpected happens in life. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, great comment. And, you know, and I really do like that last line too, but one is always lucky, you know. And, you know, in kind of looking through both of our comments and the poem in its entirety, you know, where it does have those real tragic happenings that would certainly be considered bad luck, that the poem ends on that line and stuff, because in all honesty, in some way, shape, or form, we really are always lucky. You know, we're here, we're breathing, we're you know, we have whatever we do have, we need to be lucky and thankful that we do. So that one definitely makes you think a little, and I think that's a good thing for all of us. So, and with no further ado, I guess we can move on to our next poem, Pam.
Yep. Up next, we have Dumb Luck, Dumb Cluck by Doc Juniors III. And go ahead and give that a read, please.
Okay. Dumb Luck, Dumb Clocks, Doc Juniors the Third. A somewhat astronomic majority of great apes flunked Physics One, a rocket scientist. Yet hard determinisms, truth still far beyond all reasoned doubt, reveals a universe sans luck, except on rocks with apes of clout. A dedication of respect for fundamental logic's concept of beyond all reasoned doubt. A couplet of Manippean satire on good old-fashioned luck. March 12, 2024, still billions, full green, and in being the luck of the Irish leprechaun. End poem. And Pam, would you like to comment on this one first?
Absolutely. First of all, I like that title, Dumb Luck, Dumb Cluck. You know, the idea that it seems oftentimes luck is just dumb. It's, you know, it has no rhyme and reason to it. A wonderfully written brevity. I like the phrase, except on rocks with apes of clout. I thought, apes of clout, that's great. You know, I don't know. For some reason, that line, those lines there make me think of the whole idea of, what do they call that? I blank out on a word. Why am I blanking out a symbol? Well, you know, like how one animal over time changes. Evolution. It makes me think of the idea of evolution and being the lucky apes who ended up getting the extra digit, the thumb, and being the unlucky apes who just stuck around being apes, you know. And of course, you know, I'm whatever people believe as far as evolution or faith, you know, that's fine with me. I'm just saying that's what it kind of made me think of. And I did like the bite in this, and you know, so really just clever lines and very well done.
Yeah, you can definitely see throughout this the tongue-in-cheek humor that's being laid down, and I agree with you on the title, and really like the way it starts off even with the somewhat astronomic majority of great apes flunked Physics One, and then that's written by a rocket scientist. Yeah, I just like to say that's a very good starting line to this. And then what you were kind of saying there in that second stanza on the idea of evolution, I think really hits on it too. And yeah, just throughout the whole thing. You know, and then coming to the end, where still billions full of green and envy and the luck of the Irish leprechaun. You know, just kind of the whole right, I think, is kind of making fun of the whole concept of luck. And it's really an intelligent right, the way that it's done. And, you know, the wording in some ways almost doesn't feel poetic because it's like scientific in some ways and stuff, but at the same time, it's very poetic the way this is written. And it's, you know, kind of like a dagger to a degree, the sarcastic nature of it. So very well done. And, appreciate Doc. He's written for a couple contests now, and so definitely do appreciate it and appreciate the style of his writing. So again, thank you very much for entering the contest and sharing your poetry with us.
Absolutely. So, you know, as you were commenting, I was thinking about the chimpanzee that was sent out into space, and I'm not good with dates, so I can't remember if it was the 50s or 60s. You probably do, but I was just thinking about that and how, you know, for mankind, it was like this huge step in space exploration, but I don't think that chimp would have considered themselves very lucky. But do you know what I'm talking about, right? What decade was that
yeah,
in?
I recall what you're talking about. And you're probably right that chimp was probably not thinking, hey, thanks. <This is good. laughs>
Yeah, he was probably terrified.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny, Pam.
All right. And up next, we have Yeah, Luck by Alban Burrow. And it goes like this. What luck, oh, what luck do the Irish have? Scots and English, neighbors expelled from hell, tribal chiefs busy selling the country to the most cruel bidder, potato plant trying to plant the nation entire in the tomb. No coincidence that in home country breath, 7 million lucky Irish, and in strange foreign ones, 10 times that. Heck, even the Irish patron saint is English. End poem.
It's another one of those dagger ones to a degree where, you know, some of these have been very light and put a smile on your face or something like that. And this one's more a historical twist on it and, you know, kind of taking a stab at the idea that all that the Irish have been through has been great trials and stuff on them. And I really like that first stanza quite a bit, the way that kind of about what luck, oh, what luck do the Irish have? Scots and English, neighbors expelled from hell, tribal chiefs busy selling the country to the most cruel bidder, potato plant trying to plant the nation entire in the tomb. That's a really cool stanza. That's really well done. You know, and then just going on with it, and you know, and that ending is kind of powerful too, you know, and just it's a striking ending to the poem in the idea that, you know, the Irish have certainly in this take on it comes across as had a whole lot of bad luck and stuff, although, you know, St. Patrick's Day and stuff would indicate that there's a belief otherwise as well. But this poem certainly focuses much on the idea that the Irish have had a very tough go of it. And in many, many ways, it is so true. Also, I wanted to point out the power of the words at the end of the second stanza as well, where, you know, just the whole second stanza, really, just no coincidence that in home country breath, 7 million lucky Irish, and in strange foreign ones, 10 times that. So talking of all of the millions and millions of people that have left Ireland for other places in the world for safety, for food, for security and things like that. So that's a really powerful poem. And I tell you, I think it's just really well done too. So as far as the craft of poetry goes, I think it's really well written. So, and I thank you very much. And I don't want to slaughter your name, Alban Burrow. So, but yeah, powerful, right? Thank you so much for sharing. And Pam, what do you think?
I really liked this. I did think it was a powerful write, and I have been enjoying that we've been getting a variety of tones in response to the topic of luck. You know, darker, edgy, hard-hitting, but also the lighthearted and the fun. This was has wonderful attention to detail. I often find personally that it seems like when you have a people who go through a lot of trouble, oftentimes they're very invested in their faith because faith is all they have. Wonderful attention to detail. I like the bite at the end of how he mentions that the Irish patron saint is English because St. Patrick actually was English. And so there's an irony to that, that a people who have such huge faith, you know, have it in somebody who's not of their descent, but rather almost an adopted person of the country. And to bring up the potato famine, I mean, that really, it was great all the way through, but there was a lot within that first stanza. And I think bringing up the potato famine was an important part. And I especially like potato plant trying to plant the nation entire in the tomb and the idea of how oftentimes we don't have as much control as we hope over our own destiny. So amazing write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very powerful. Great comments, Kim. All right, let's see what we got up next.
We have One Lucky Irishman by Hawkeye Pete. And go ahead and give that a read, please.
All right, One Lucky Irishman, Hawkeye Pete. I had had a run of rotten luck. Didn't think I could take any more. First, my nice car got stolen. Then my best friend died at 24, just days after saving my life. I needed a break, a change in luck. My drug use had gotten way out of hand. Grieving my friend, it was the only way I knew. I was having a hard time trying to understand why he had been taken while I was still alive. I walked into a room full of teens looking. An old 25, I thought, what am I doing here? Just my luck, I thought, ready to walk. How are these kids going to make things clear? Here's where my luck began to change. One of the kids saw me getting ready to leave. He came over and just began talking. Whatever he said, it got me to thinking. Soon I changed my mind about walking. I walked back in to a whole new life. I relapsed 3 weeks in, sure I'd blown it. My shot at getting clean would be one and done. Those kids welcomed me home with open arms and hearts. St. Patrick's Day was day one. This week I'll celebrate 44 years. I do believe I am lucky. What were the odds? An Irishman like me would get clean on this day. Many times those first 90 I wanted to use, but a part of me didn't want to have to say. I blew the best clean date an Irishman could have in poem. And Pam, did you want to comment on this one first?
Sure, absolutely. Great read there, Scott. I like this one. I really appreciate that Hawkeye Pete has taken time to share such a personal write with us of his personal journey and growth and overcoming addiction. And I'd like to say to him, congratulations and happy 44-year anniversary coming up of being sober, of being free from the clutches of addiction. What a great, you know, to have St. Patrick's Day as that symbolism of that date where you made that change in your life. And I like how he takes that personal growth and he shows it as being part of that. Yeah, you take your own steps in the journey, but it's also about the people who you're fortunate enough to meet. I mean, because really, there's such a turning point in this poem. Like he says, just my luck, I thought, ready to walk. How are these kids going to make things clear? Here's where my luck began to change. One of the kids saw me getting ready to leave. He came over and just began talking. Whatever he said, it got me to thinking. Soon I changed my mind about walking. I walked back in to a whole new life. What an amazing turning point, not only in the poem itself, but in his own life. And it really shows the importance of you know, taking time to reach out to people, to be nice and to be friendly, because you just never know what somebody's going through or when they just need that little bit of extra encouragement. So definitely a wonderful personal write and very well done.
Yeah, so much of what you said, so true, though. You know, I have to venture to guess that the majority of us have either dealt with some form of addiction or know people who have. And so it's a really powerful write and, like you said, a very personal one. And everything to Pete. And, you know, I personally can relate in many ways to things that he's talking about and stuff. So it's something that, again, it's one of those poems that has that personal pull to it. And, you know, it's really, I think, fairly universal. Like I was saying, I do believe that, you know, even if you've never been addicted to anything and stuff, you've likely known people that have been. And so I do think it's the kind of poem that almost anybody could read this and pull value of it from it. You know, as far as the things that you were saying, Pam, I couldn't agree more, that you just never know the people in your that you come into contact with and the things that they go through and the difficulties that they, you know, encounter, and even necessarily, like, if they are addicted, the reasons behind it and stuff oftentimes are what's being buried under the addictions and stuff. So, you know, not only is there the breaking of the addiction, but sometimes the need to address what was the original cause of seeking whatever it is that you might have been addicted to. And so you know, it brings about a lot of, I think, powerful things in the real world out of this poem and stuff. And again, it's a really powerful thing. And definitely something to celebrate for Pete's sake, the 44 years of being addiction-free and stuff. And we certainly appreciate the fact that you would share the poem with us and, you know, and just give us the opportunity to reflect. You know, it's the sharing of your life, but it also, I think, it's something that touches everybody's, and so it draws us all into it, I think. So anyway, thank you so much, Pete, for sharing with us, and thanks for entering my contest. So, and Pam, did you? We've got a half an hour left.
Yes, yeah, you know, well, I'll have to come up with some conversation. Well, I would actually like to read something that Robbie's poetry is posted in LNP, because I think it's very prudent to the topic for tonight. And that is, he says, I was just saying to a friend recently how we human beings have a horrible habit of focusing on one bit of bad luck, even if we've had a huge run of good luck. I caught myself in that one day and stopped myself immediately. And I want to say good for him. And that is so true. Don't we do that even day by day? You know, you'll have one bad thing happen a day and the rest will be good and it just becomes a horrible day. We do. We have a habit of doing that. I have to agree.
And I address that exact thing oftentimes with kids because I do believe that, you know, they're oftentimes extra emotional and, you know, teenagers tend to make the smallest things into much bigger things than they are. And so, like, I like to try to draw a line on the board where you have a deep, you know, valley, and then you go back, you know, so you start at a peak and you go down into the valley and you go back up to the peak. And then like to talk to them about, you know, the more you concentrate on your problems, the longer it takes to get out of it. And so, you know, and I think that's really what Robbie's pretty much hitting on there is that, you know, if you focus on good vibes and good things and stuff, your problems tend to be short and your good times much longer. So I think that's a really insightful comment by Robbie.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And up next, we have Luck the Motivator by Prasad Rao Pindaprol. And it goes like this. Luck is something all look forward to. The strong and weak believe in it. Those who are not benefited just brush away saying, they are not lucky enough. Nothing comes just like that. Every move requires some effort. Some may happen, some may not. It is not the fate. Only a few get the piece of cake. All cannot get a share in that. Once benefited as a luck may not happen again and again. The best way to live a happy life, put one's efforts and allow things to happen. Never let your confidence go down just because it did not happen. End poem.
I like this, and like it in a lot of different ways. One in the sense that it's kind of like acceptance. You do the things that you need to do in life, and you try to work towards those results that you would consider to be lucky and good and everything. But I really like the sense that comes out of this poem about accepting kind of how things really are, not so much being disappointed in what didn't happen, but instead being happy with what has happened. And you know, if for some reason you didn't get the piece of cake or something, that, you know, maybe you go buy some flour and you start making a cake again and those kinds of things. You know, I really like the take that this one takes towards the whole idea of luck. And it's an interesting title to me, Luck the Motivator. You know, whether or not, you know, it's an interesting title. It makes me think a little. So on whether or not it's a motivator or not, whether it's, you know, because I think that, and you'll have to tell me whether you agree with it, but you know, I just get the sense that this is more about, you know, we all would love to be lucky, but at the same time, we need to just sort of accept how things are and be pretty happy with that. And for me, I love the meaning in that. So what do you think, Pam?
You know what? I have to agree with that. And I do like the idea that he speaks on the idea that, yeah, it's nice to have luck, but it doesn't always happen and you shouldn't depend on it. And I like what you had to say about acceptance, because you can definitely see that in there, especially when he says, you know, once benefited as a luck may not happen again and again. The best way to live a happy life, put one's effort and allow things to happen. And I like that, you know, how he has that idea of letting go, you know, control the things you can control, let go of the things that you can't. I also thought that the piece of cake was a great metaphor for the idea of the luck and the riches in life and the blessings of life, and how, you know, the how not everybody gets that, or not everybody gets the same blessings. Because I do believe that everybody has different ways that they're blessed. They're just not always the same. And unfortunately, for some people, you know, life is more difficult. So I thought that made for a great metaphor and great imagery. It also was kind of like this poem in general, and it was especially that part, made me think about the idea of how children, our children say to us, that's not fair when we don't give them that extra piece of dessert or whatever we have denied them, the most expensive sneakers that they can buy from Amazon. And then we have to respond with, life isn't fair. And I think that this poem really points that out, that we have to accept, we have to embrace and realize that life isn't fair, especially when we're like basically in the middle of the journey. I mean, there may be some karma that comes along eventually. There may be some end reward. But, you know, oftentimes in the journey of life, it just isn't fair. And so excellent writing, very well done.
Yeah, I feel about it as well, like I say. And life just, it is tough, and, you know, you just keep pushing into trying your best and hoping that in some way, shape, or form you can look back on it as being luck. But, you know, I again think we are all just lucky that, you know, day to day we're able to, you know, write a poem, to read a poem, enjoy each other's company, you know, look outside and see the brilliant skies at sunset and all the other things that we're just lucky to get to share. So, Prasad, thank you so much for sharing your poem with us and engaging our conversations. So,
absolutely. Well, up next we have The Four-Leafed Clover by Seaglass. And go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
All right. The Four-Leafed Clover by Seaglass. Childhood summers, hot, breathless days, lying on our bellies in the meadows, tickling beetles and ants with twigs and blades of grass, picking buttercups, moon daisies, and counting the leaves of clover, staring hard at each leaf, hoping to find the lucky four leaf that would lose my school report or bring my friend Monica the blue net party dress she longed for, the four-leaf clover that would make Jimbo forget he caught Benny stealing apples from his orchard. Now, the meadows of my childhood have disappeared into places not fit for flower, bee, or bird, drug-fueled and feral housing estates where the only wish is to escape broken concrete and urban decay. But a patch of clover has sprouted on the green sward outside of my house, and like the child of those meadows, they knelt and counted, hoping to spot a lucky four leaf to bring the meadows back and for my 50-1 odds on horse to win the St. Patrick's Day race at the Curragh racetracks in Boom. So, all right. I always enjoy the artistic nature of C. Glass's writing. She does such great imagery. The pictures she creates in our mind with her word choices and just the way that her imagery appeals to all the different senses and stuff is just such a great thing. And one of the most enjoyable things to me about reading her poetry. So I do feel lucky to get to see a lot of her poetry and stuff, and it's always a great pleasure to do so. You know, I really like some of the references that she makes here, especially like in this third stanza, hoping to find the lucky four leaf that would lose my school report or bring my friend Monica the blue net party dress she longed for. The four-leaf clover that would make Jimbo forget he caught Benny stealing apples from his orchard. You know, you could just picture all of that. That's so cool, and it's so typical of her writing. And, you know, it's something I think for all of us poets to envy, quite honestly, the skill at which she does it, because she does it in all of her writing. And it's really enjoyable to read. So, and, you know, she takes the simple idea of the four-leaf clover and she turns it into a beautiful painting with words. So, yeah, like I say, thank you as always, Sue Glass, for sharing your poetry with us and giving us the opportunity to read it and share it with others as well. So, what do you think, Pam?
I like this one. And I, too, am a big fan of C. Glass's writing with her imagery and her metaphors and her ability to tell a story. I really enjoy and appreciate how the first three stanzas in this are so nostalgic. And I really like the imagery of picking buttercups, moon daisies, and counting the leaves of clover staring hard at each leaf, hoping to find the lucky four leaf. Wonderful lines throughout. And then a great transition when she says, now the meadows of my childhood have disappeared. And I like that because with that transition, she stirs within the reader a new emotion. The idea of the nostalgia of childhood to the changing times and how change isn't always for the better. I also liked her sense of humor in the end lines. I thought that was just great fun, but also made a serious point of how people often will use luck, like the idea of all of a sudden seeing that patch of clover and becoming like that child and hoping to spot that four-leaf clover. But now as an adult, it's because you're feeling, if you can get that four-leaf clover, you're going to feel a lot better about your 50-1 odds on the horse track. So, I mean, that was just absolutely a clever twist at the end, and very well done.
Yeah, very enjoyable. Yeah, and the idea of, you know, trying to cash in on whatever luck you might have in life, whether it be lotto or, you know, betting on the local race, horse racing. I actually like to go down to the horse track myself and occasionally, you know, just the beauty of the horses is extremely enjoyable, frankly. and stuff. But, you know, put a couple bucks on a race here and there also is kind of entertaining. I'll have to remember next time to look through the grass and see if I can't find a four-leaf clover before I go, because my luck is...
Yeah, the horses haven't eaten them all. So, but, yeah, actually... I've never actually seen a horse race, but I always imagine, like, I've seen them on TV, and I always imagine in person, it must be just an amazing experience just because of the pure, raw beauty and power of the animals. And
they are amazing. Racehorses are amazingly beautiful animals. So, yeah. But I'll have to pick through the grass before I go next time, because like I say, my luck at the track isn't very good.
There you go. And well, up next we have Gatsby by Elizabeth Murmuring. I notice his hands as they dance within his words, skin etiolated and soft, nails in rigorous trim, nary a mark inscribed by time's passage. He is given to pointing, finding fault in innumerable stars, naming misfortune a lack of ambition. For none works so hard as he, says he with his smooth hands and winking sneer. None so deserving of those undermined silver spoons. His ocean is privilege unseen and unknown, and so he pronounces patronizing solutions, drawling suave aphorisms in maddening insolence, as if his tender souls could ever know the jagged paths or follow footsteps. Toiling over mountains of raging tears, he thinks he has overcome with his baby smooth face, and when faced with mirrors, he moves on, dropping profligate hours like copper coins into the well of oblivion, racing ennui to what end, for Santa Morte waits even in the fortunate few. She must prize hands like his, and only in her kiss will he understand. It was all just a roll of the dice and poem.
That's an interesting poem. Huh. Well, there's a lot to like here, that's for sure. Definitely love the diction choices. The phrasing of things is really well done as well. Oh, where to start with this one? Because let me see here. Because yeah, it's, you know, talking of the luck in a couple places. In fact, Pam, can you give me a minute to look this over a little bit and you comment real quick?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I really like this one. It, you know, it was a different take. And she wrote to the quote, life proceeds, it enrages the untouched. One spend their luck without a thought, believing they deserve it, by Barbara Kingsolver and from the story or book, The Lacuna. I thought, how great that she went with the Great Gatsby, a character well-known, and used him as a metaphor for those who seem to be oblivious about the truth of life. Those who are willing to spurt opinions on social and political matters without really an understanding of what the actual suffering, what the actual poor are going through, and also just some wonderful word choices. There are definitely some $10 words in here that I am going to have to look up, like insouciance. And, you know, I really like how there is a bite to this right, and the idea of someone who's just trying to come up with those solutions for a situation they've never truly been in. He pronounces patronizing solutions, pulling over mountains of raging tears. He thinks he has overcome with his baby smooth face, fate, and when faced with mirrors, he moves on. I like when faced with mirrors, he moves on, because oftentimes we don't want to face the truth of ourselves. I also like about the dropping the copper coins into the well of oblivion, that idea of the wishing well and hoping, you know, wishing that we never have to see that truth that is so brutal and ugly, but also the idea that the copper coins are used to pay the ferryman. And I thought the Santa Muerte, Saint Death, was a great phrase. I like when like different languages are tossed into a poem. You know, I feel like it expands the mind, expands the thinking, and adds an interesting touch to the poem, and definitely a great ending with the idea that it's oftentimes on our deathbed that the reality of life hits us in the face. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, that was great comments and stuff, Pam. I feel like I missed this one. Like I didn't, not that she didn't write this really well, but that I didn't read it really well. And Stefan, and now with what you're saying, I see so much of what you're talking about where, you know, somebody's not seeing it clearly or whatever, or making judgment on other people. But I was, you know, in just the simplicity of my read, already drawn to the same area you were talking about with the metaphors. And I believe it's a simile down there as well. Where toiling over mountains of raging tears, he thinks he has overcome with his baby smooth fate. And when faced with mirrors, looking into his own actions and thoughts of what he's done, he moves on, dropping profligate hours like copper coins into the well of oblivion. So, yeah, that's just, you know, very powerful writing. It's really well done. It definitely draws you to the metaphors and the similes that she's saying there. And then, yeah, I was caught by the Muerte too on the first read, you know, the idea of the death and stuff. And you know, and like I say, I just, I feel like I didn't read this poem before. The other poems, I feel like, you know, I read all the poems before the show, but I feel like I must have missed this one because it doesn't really feel familiar to me. So I didn't get a chance to think about it a little bit before. So I think because of the quality of the word choices and the phrasing, I was ill-equipped to actually comment well on this poem. So I apologize about that, Elizabeth, and I intend to make up for it when I write my comments to people in judging the poem. But it appears to be a really great poem in its quality of writing, and I want to give you a better comment here shortly. So, anyways, with my apology there, we'll move on to the next poem.
All right. And up next, we have Potluck by Blossom Writer. And go ahead, please, Scott, and give that a read.
Here we go. Potluck. A penny, a dime, a golden potluck shine. Synchronicity entwines, it's a gape, love. Happiness is the rainbow, fragile, sentimental gems we are, cherishing friendships, strongholds through loss. Courage is fire, the road is long, laughter, labor, and sing me a song. Green clovers and prosperous life. Remember struggles, endure enrichments. Gratitude never weeps, as the insomniac never sleeps. Green are the hills, toasting the oceans to the shore. Another day, a scholar, a blue class collar, and poem. And did you want to comment on that one, Pam, for us?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful reader. I hope you don't mind me telling you for the future reference that that's actually agape love. It's the Greek word for brotherly love. Just to let you know. Yeah. And but I liked that. I liked that. Wonderful word choice and brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how she speaks on the struggles within life and really seems to use the idea of working for our own luck or working together. I thought potluck, what a wonderful, you know, I mean, there's such a layeredness to that word alone. The idea of a potluck being a gathering of people bringing their food and sustenance together, like almost like the making of a stone soup and how a community makes its own luck. But also a nod to finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I really liked this all the way through, but one particular part that I liked was courage is fire, the road is long, laughter, labor, and sing me a song, green clovers, and prosperous life. You know, it does seem oftentimes that, you know, when we struggle with life, two of the best things you can have are courage and laughter to get you through the difficult times. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I've got a potluck tomorrow at work, and so I'm going to have to start cooking pretty soon. cooking meats over the night and stuff so I can take it in for people. But onto the foam.
That sounds
tired,
good.
If you can't tell. Okay. So anyways, I was drawn to that same stanza, actually. I really did like it as well. The courage is fire. The road is long. Laughter, labor, and sing me a song. The natural rhythm that has been written into this poem is really strong, and it's really well done. Very enjoyable rhythmic sound to the words and stuff. Really well chosen. You know, the power of the meaning also in the idea of luck is very good there as well. Remember struggles, endure enrichments, gratitude never weeps as the insomniac never sleeps. Green are the hills, coasting the oceans to the shore, another day, a scholar, a blue class collar. And, yeah, just the powerful word choices and stuff in the right were really well done as well. So thank you very much for the right blossom, and appreciate you entering the contest. And I think we're very near the end here, Pam, at 58 on my clock.
Yep, yep, like a minute left. So if you want to go ahead and, go ahead and wrap things up. It has been a great show tonight.
And what do you got coming up in the next day or so? What do you got going on for like tomorrow night's show?
Well, in a half hour, we have Break On Through with K carryovers from the contest with quotes from the movie The Fly. And then we also have poetry inspired by the artwork of Boris Grau, which I think you might have actually written for that one, if I remember right, or at least one of them. I swear I saw your name, but maybe not. But either way, I recommend checking them out. And, of course, I like to say make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses. You can join us Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time for Open Poetry with Fill My Eyes and Company. And, you know, I've got great shows all coming up all week long.
As always, that's for sure. So thank you, everybody, for taking your time to write for us and to allow us to read your poems out loud and to discuss them. So many awesome writes and powerful thoughts, and we just appreciate the opportunity to share in them. So thank you guys all very much, and see you sometime soon.